I've started to reread Gavin Maxwell's book Ring of Bright Water, which, as you know, tells the wonderful story about a man who takes up the offer of a friend to live in a deserted cottage on the west coast of Scotland, a little bit further north from here. And the first pages deal with his arrival, and he talks about how he furnished his house from the debris he found on the beach. And it's extraordinary how he adapts what he finds in order to make his life reasonably comfortable. I suppose for the disciples after the death of Christ, and even into the time of his resurrection appearances, must have felt a little bit like they were clinging to the debris of a ship that had just sunk. The ship being their desire to serve God, their vision of the kingdom, which, as we know, was very different from that of Jesus. And at this time, between Ascension and Pentecost, they must have had mixed feelings about what was going on. They'd followed this very special human being who they knew was more than just a human being for 3 years. They'd, to a certain degree, been reshaped and remoulded. And with Christ, they, to a degree, will have died and risen. They thought they'd lost him, and then they found him again. And then a period of rebuilding began, as Jesus began to explain things to them from the scriptures, to open their hearts and minds to who he was and what God wanted them to do. And then Jesus leaves them and returns to the Father at Ascension, and they're now waiting for that power of God, the creative spirit of the universe, the Holy Spirit, to be given to them in a whole new way. So it's an exciting time for them and for us as we retread this journey of the early church, as we celebrate the Ascension and now wait for the gift of the breath of God in the church and renewed in you and I at Pentecost. It's a bit like clinging to debris, and the Christian way does call us to allow our ship on occasions to run aground. It may even sink in a heavy gale at sea. But all is not lost, because it is not in the clinging to what is familiar, acceptable, even respectable, as our first hymn reminded us, that usually makes Christian discipleship. It is the willingness to follow a new way. And we may well feel at times that we are very much out of our depth. And if you're like me, you swim like a brick. So even keeping your head above water, treading water, can be extremely challenging for some of us. It's amazing what driftwood can become. My wife and I have a very special piece of driftwood, which is one of our prized possessions. I'm at home, a long, long way away from here, and it feels like in a different universe, really, a bit further south. I used to be very wary of driftwood. I used to be threatened by driftwood, because driftwood doesn't conform very easily to anything. Sometimes when I see a piece of wood like the one we have at home that's been washed ashore, I look at it and I wonder what it was. what it had been before it dropped into the sea. Part of a great tree somewhere, worked on by carpenters, put into a ship, a handrail maybe, or some smart steps up to the first class cabins. Who knows? But I like sometimes to look at it, and I think the handrail is the one, symbolically, that comes to my mind. This piece of wood might have once been a highly polished, very important, much used piece of kit on a ship way out to sea, part of a handrail. And with the passage of time or through accident, part of that handrail fell into the sea. And the piece of wood that we have doesn't look like anything that would fit anywhere, because it had been in the sea for a long time. And the sea had worked its way over this piece of wood, so it was no longer of any recognizable shape. And if it had come from a handrail, you couldn't begin to imagine or work out whereabouts on the handrail it would have fitted. It's changed shape. It's no longer proud, glossy, polished, strong, defiant, really, in the security it gave to those who rested their hands on it in rough sea. Instead, it looks rather fragile. It's rounded. It doesn't have any jagged edges anymore. It's smooth. And it has a sort of gentle appearance to it, rather than a harsh, functional look. Picking it up on the beach, or you'd be forgiven for thinking it was just a bit of rubbish, really. Unlike Gavin Maxwell, I couldn't make it into a chair or a table or a bookshelf. It's too small. It looks purposeless. It looks washed up. It doesn't look terribly meaningful at all. Doesn't serve a function. It's separated from its original host. It's been here and there, taken beyond its will by the currents of the sea, by the tides, and deposited somewhere where, if it could become animate, I guess it would never have thought it would have been washed up. Now, the extraordinary thing about this piece of driftwood at home is that an artist who specializes in this has taken it, and he's seen in it a shape of something very special. And what he's seen is Mary, the mother of Christ, holding Jesus in her arms. And having seen that in this piece of driftwood, he's then painted it beautifully, like an icon, with the figures. And it now hangs in a very special place on a wall at home. Our gospel reading this morning was written by John, and it contained one of Jesus' very special prayers for his disciples. We don't know how John knows what Jesus said in prayer. Was he listening? Was the prayer said aloud? Did John have a fantastic memory to remember every word? Or is it like a summary of Jesus' prayer life as John understood it, with his understanding of who Jesus was? Because John, you see, of course, got washed up. He ended up in Patmos, didn't he? Still writing, still praying, closer to God than ever. But he gives us this prayer, and in it, Jesus talks about his disciples as if they don't belong to the world anymore. That's really strange, because the incarnation of Christ is about how God became or revealed how involved he is in the life of the world. And yet Jesus, this incarnation of God in human nature, says that he doesn't belong to the world. Nobody could have been more involved in the life of the world, in the creation of the world, in its sustained life and redemption, and yet he says he doesn't belong to the world. And he says his followers don't either. But he also says that this is the way of sanctity. This is the way of holiness. And it reminds us, as we prepare to celebrate the gift of the life of God in a special way to the church and in your life and mine at Pentecost, it reminds us that this Christian way of life is one that's full of joy and hope and eternal life, as we heard in the epistle. It's one that, I guess, particularly on a stunningly beautiful and deeply spiritual island as this, enables us to become, to see like that artist with the driftwood, to see God in creation in a way that people like me passing through would never see him. To develop that depth of oneness with this world that we can achieve through seeing God in it. And yet we don't belong to it. And sometimes, even when you feel close to God, and even when we celebrate the power of God in creation, we can't help feeling that either, well, that we want to cling to the wreckage, or we just want to stay in the same old role that we've always had. And sometimes God is actually saying to us that to make the most of the creative spirit of the universe, you and I from time to time have to fall away or be wrenched away. And we have to, in our minds or in our lives, just get buffeted to and fro from time to time. Taken where we don't want to go and maybe washed up on a place we wouldn't be. In order that that image of God in us can be found, can be recognized, and then celebrated. So in this sense, there is nothing in the world that we can ignore as driftwood that once was perhaps meant to fulfill a role in a particular way, but now, because it's not there, can't fulfill another role or a greater role. There's nothing that you and I can drive by, nobody that you and I could speak to or greet, that we could ever not see the image of God in. And more importantly, it's perhaps when you and I become a bit more rounded, a bit less proud, a bit more willing to follow Christ, that we become the saints, the sacred people he has called us to be. And having been, well, we would have been on this island for a fortnight by the time we go. I don't know how long there are those who live here, but there are others who maybe, like us, are passing through. I hope and pray that you may well have been here many times before, that this spirit of redemption or reincarnation works on you as you want it to and pray for it to while you are here. Amen.